The following is intended for mature audiences. It contains references to sexual violence. Listener discretion is advised. Hi guys, welcome to Mixed Babble. My name is Joni Brown. I am in the middle of the end of the world. What are you guys up to? Everything from the day-to-day bullshit, positive quotes that inspire me, books that I'm currently into, music that I'm obsessed with, or just whatever comes to mind. Let's get into it. Hey, hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Mixed Babble. I'm your host, Joni Brown. I'm not going to spend too much time doing the babbling part today, because as you may have remembered, last week I gave you part one of Dead Collections. But before we get into that, just to recap a couple things from the last episode, we were discussing me trying to get back on my routine, and I told you I'd keep you updated on what's going on with that. Sadly, I did not work out this week as I had planned. And I've identified one of my biggest issues. That would be staying up way too late. So I sleep in a little bit. Typically, I don't get up till like 9, 9:30. Most of the time, it's 9 a.m. But it's because I'm up till like 1, 1:30 in the morning. So I think right now I need to focus on my eating habits, but then also my sleeping habits, because as anyone knows, when it comes to health and wellness, sleep is so important. And right now I'm failing at that. And I know that has the biggest impact on me not doing what I need to do, just for the fact that I am up way too late, then I'm way too tired to get up in the morning, get up early, or even a little bit earlier to do something. So if I could be in bed by like 11:30, even though for some, I know that's still late, but for me, it's not super late. If I can be in bed and asleep by 11:30, I think I'll be good. I just got to get that routine going. So unfortunately, that is my report for that. Didn't work out once. Can't say that I've been eating the greatest. It hasn't been as bad as it had been, because this week I did focus somewhat on making more home-cooked meals than going out to eat. So it's a little progress, I suppose. Not too thrilled that that is my update. So hopefully next week I'll have a better one for you. It's only up from here, right? So a couple of things. I mentioned the books that I had listened to or that I was recommending, and I didn't mention the names. Typically, some of these topics come to mind as I'm recording, and so I'm not always prepared in the moment, but I try to always follow up later on. So the one I was telling you about that I ordered on Amazon that is pre-ordered, because it doesn't come out until the 18th, by Autumn Calabrese, is called Lose Weight Like Crazy, Even If You Have a Crazy Life. But the actual title is Lose Weight Like Crazy, and then like the subtitle is Even If You Have a Crazy Life. That's the one that hasn't come out yet. It's coming out on the 18th. She did Beachbody, the 21 Day Fix, and all that. The other one that I mentioned about, you know, having the small point of entry and starting small just to get started and then move your way up. It'll make more sense if you actually listen to the last episode. I would hope you listen to the last episode, because I'm giving you the other half of the story with Ben. So none of this is going to make any sense if you didn't listen. So if you haven't, pause this, go back, and then meet me back here. So the other book that I listened to on Audible was called Weight Loss Motivation Hacks, 7 Simple Psychological Tricks That Can Keep You Motivated to Lose Weight. So that is the one that I mentioned helped me, and I only gave you one of the 7 hacks, so feel free to go and listen to that to hopefully get on track, and maybe I should go back and listen to that again because clearly I need it. So anyway, now we can jump right in. I'm sure you can kind of tell, like, the mood is a little off a little bit just because I know this story sucks and I am not really looking forward to telling it. It's not something that I don't know, it's scary because when I first heard about what had happened, it really fucked me up for a little bit. Like, for a good couple months, I was freaked out just for the fact that, as I said, I knew Ben and we weren't super close, but I typically, you know what? I'm not even going to tell you any of that because I think I say it in the blog entry. And so I don't want to repeat myself, but I'll jump right in and I'll give you some additional updates. I looked a little further into this morning and Saturday. So everything that I've found on this can be found publicly on the web. But again, I've changed names and whatnot for everyone's privacy. And yeah, so let's jump in. So, Dead Collections Part 2. If you remember, I left off with I'm wandering down a random aisle. I saw Ben with his son, and for whatever reason, I dodged him. So, that's where we're at. So, here I am wandering down a random aisle, peeking through the mountain of shoeboxes to avoid this man. I can't help but wonder to myself, what the hell is wrong with me? Why was I being such a weirdo? I mean, in this particular situation, we don't have enough time to do a deep dive here. Why am I avoiding this person that I've spoken to on countless occasions? As a sidebar, I'm kind of an extroverted introvert. I'm sure many would disagree, but I said what I said. I can be introverted if I want. Anyway, I somehow make it out unnoticed. How an employee at the store didn't think I was acting suspicious and tackle me, I'll never know. A couple months had now passed since the shoe store fiasco. And there was a lot of commotion around town in reference to a big arrest that had been made in a 19-plus year-old cold case. The local sheriff's office was going to be holding a press conference first thing the following morning, and all the major news stations were going to be covering it live. And when I say major, I mean for the town. It wasn't like world news, I don't believe. I think it was just around here in Florida. Anyway, shit happens in this town all the time, but this was huge. Apparently everyone in law enforcement was involved in this particular case. The FBI, retired law enforcement, everyone. I had never heard of the case, so I was curious as to what it was pertaining to. When a cold case is finally resolved, that's a big deal. I was sure I'd be tuning in the next day. There's nothing like waking up and starting your morning with a mugshot of someone you once thought you knew. That does something to you that a regular cup of Joe just can't cut. The jolt you feel goes through your entire being. The lead sheriff, he shall be named Ronald, takes to the podium and the press conference commences. Sheriff Ronald goes on to describe in detail what transpired 19 years ago in March of 1999. He begins with explaining that Sally, as an office manager, and I also changed her name, by the way. He goes on to explain that Sally was an office manager who had just purchased and built what she thought was going to be her dream home. Around 4 p.m. on March 28th, 1999, Sally spoke with her sister. That would unfortunately be the last time anyone spoke with Sally. At some point later that evening, a man scaled the 6-foot fence in Sally's yard, cut the screen to the patio deck, and made their way into Sally's home. Sally was brutally beaten, sexually assaulted, gagged with a sock, and strangled to death. When Sally does not show up for work the next morning, her boss is concerned and drives to her home to check on her. Side note here, what a different time that was. I don't think people even do that anymore, but that just goes to show, like, back then people were definitely more caring and would go above and beyond to check on their neighbors and coworkers and whatnot, because I don't think anyone would do that these days. When her boss arrives, they felt something was off and called the police. It was at that time that the police find Sally and the investigation begins. Almost 20 years go by with no concrete leads. That is, until September of 2018. As I sit listening to the sheriff recount the disturbing story, my stomach drops when he finally says Ben's name. Ben's mugshot flashes across the screen, and it is accompanied by the composite sketch of what the perpetrator is believed to have looked like based on DNA from semen that was retrieved from Sally's body. You know what I find extremely unsettling? I mean, other than the obvious? I've kind of prided myself on being a pretty good judge of character. Typically, I can smell bullshit from a mile away, which it usually then shows right on my face. But this particular situation had me all the way fucked up. This situation had me doubting my bullshit sensing capabilities, and that was terrifying. That was supposed to be my superpower. Need I remind you, I worked with Ben a mere 6 years after the rape and murder. He came to work every day, was very friendly, carried on with mundane conversations, and even dated one of our coworkers for a while, all whilst having a homicide and rape under his belt. That is some unsettling shit. The sheriff goes on to say that the DNA retrieved was put through their database, which was accompanied by genealogy testing that traced the lineage back to Ben's father, who had passed away in 2001. Then they figured out that Ben's father had two sons, one of which was already in the database because he was a convicted felon. I guess it runs in the family. And he was already incarcerated during the time of the incident, so that eliminated him as a suspect. The other was, you guessed it, good old Ben, who just so happened to have lived less than a mile away from Sally's residence. So I want to say here that if I remember correctly, I think when they had gone through Ben's history, they mentioned, I think he graduated from the same high school as I did, and but years prior, because Ben is older than I am by at least like 5 or 6 years. However, I don't think Ben ever went on to college, which is also why I found this whole thing very interesting. Because if you remember from part one, I mentioned that he said that he learned patois while he was in college, and I don't think he ever even went to college. Now, obviously, that's not the most disturbing part of the story, but it's just the pathological lying that I find very interesting with people because it's hard to wrap your brain around the fact that people like this exist. So now it's September 19th, 2018. And I know I'm irrelevant in the story, but that was actually the day before my birthday. So, like, my brain was just like, what the fuck? Like, what is life? But just 5 days before what would have been Sally's birthday, Ben is arrested and charged with sexual battery and murder. I've since seen YouTube videos of him trying to get his zero bond lowered to a quote unquote reasonable amount. It's fucking murder. Like, how much is that worth? And the last I checked, they had approved him for $950,000 for the homicide and $250,000 for the other crimes. They also required that he relinquish his passport as he may be a flight risk. I would say that's probable, but what do I know? It's scary to think that someone can murder a human being, and if they have enough money or financial connections, that they can easily be back on the streets. The moral of the story is, don't trust anyone that claims that they went to college and learned Jamaican. So that was the end of my blog post. But I have since looked up some additional information to give a more recent update on what's going on with Mr. Ben. But I will tell you that after. Welcome back. I am in the middle of giving you the most recent update that I've located on the web regarding Ben. So, this year, 2020, right before the pandemic took over the world, Ben was convicted of killing and raping Sally. He's guilty. Now, yes, we know that people get wrongly convicted all the time and all that, but I mean, I don't know. This fucking story, man. So, his defense attorney called no other witnesses, and following a swift 3-day trial, he was found guilty of killing Sally. The jury deliberated 2.5 hours before returning with a verdict. And Ben was convicted of first-degree murder and sexual assault with a deadly weapon. The state attorney was quoted saying that, quote, "We had a very intelligent jury that obviously paid attention very closely to the evidence by the state. They were not taken in by the defense." And then there is a picture of Ben in handcuffs looking. I don't know. I feel like I've seen pictures and videos of him, and it's almost like I guess the human in me felt like I felt sorry for him, but then I remembered what he is being charged with, and it was like it's this weird look of like he's embarrassed. And I guess I would be too if now your dirty little secret is out for the world to know, and that your whole life was a whole facade. I don't know if he is regretful of what he did or feels bad for it. I can't tell. There's like layers to this. I feel like it's more out of embarrassment for him than what he's actually done. But yeah, so the DNA evidence was found, like I mentioned, and it says, according to the sheriff's report, at least one person gained entry to Sally's home by cutting a pool screen at the back of the house and entering an open doorway. Sally had been brutally battered, gagged with a sock, sexually assaulted, and then strangled with a t-shirt. Deputies found her naked, sprawled over a master bathtub of running water that spilled onto the carpet. Her head was submerged in the water. Detectives collected DNA in the form of blood and semen from the scene, and genetic testing was performed, but did not yield a match at the time. Advances in DNA technology led detectives to resubmit a rape kit in 2016. DNA Labs International created a genetic profile that determined the suspect was a white male. Using hereditary samples from male family members, they were able to calculate a 1 in 4.9 nonanil, I can't say that word, 1 in 4.9 nonillion chance that the suspect was anyone but Ben. What the fuck is nonillion? That's like, we know your ass did it. 1 in a we know your ass did it chance. What is a nonillion? I've never even seen that word before. Got me over here sounding like I got a speech impediment. Not funny, guys. This is serious. This is not funny. I'm laughing at me not being able to talk, not at the situation. Anyway, the DNA that linked Ben came from his brother, a convicted felon who was arrested in the combined DNA index that tracks all felons, and his 2-year-old son. So, yes, Ben had a son. Yes, that's who I saw him with in the mall that day. God was looking out for me because I steered clear of all of that shit. And you know, this is where I'm not friendly, but I'm also not overly friendly. Like, I can see people I know and I'll give them, like, you know, a smile. Or sometimes I just pretend I don't see them because sometimes I don't be wanting to talk to people. But that's my own issues. I have to be in the mood to deal with people. Like, even having people come to my house for like dinner or a party, I have to mentally prepare. And then if I even go through with it, and have a party, like I'm good for a good 6 months. Like we're not gonna be seeing each other for a while, so I hope you enjoyed your time. But that's just me. I don't know why I'm like this. Is anyone else like that? Like you gotta mentally prepare to deal with people. I'd be coming home and I'd be just so exhausted after just being in contact with people all day. People are so exhausting. Anyway, the DNA that linked Ben, I already told you that. Ben's defense attorney told jurors the state couldn't prove Ben sexually assaulted and killed Sally, instead offering a speculative testimony that Ben had a tryst with Sally after a random meeting at a bar in town. So Ben said that they met. First of all, he couldn't figure out which bar it was. He named two different bars. He named one bar and or Applebee's. So like you don't even know where you met her. I mean, granted, that would have been 20 years prior, but I feel like if you, I don't know. I don't know. I don't have the mind of a crazy person, so I don't know. Actually, you might have to ask my husband that one. He might disagree. Anyway, he claims that he met her at one of these bars and that they were the only drinking establishments that would serve him underage. So you just gonna throw everybody under the bus, but go off. He said he was attracted to her northeastern accent because he was born in the Northeast. Is that also where you learn patois? Like, he just be lying. I don't know, he might be telling the truth on that, but now I can't believe anything you fucking say. So they went outside to smoke. And Ben claims that Sally flirted with him. And this might be the narcissism with him. He thinks everybody want him. I don't even know. I know I'm probably going off here on a tangent, but this shit's starting to piss me off. So Ben claims she flirted with him and they went to his car and they had sex in the back seat. Now, mind you, I'm not saying that women don't have that level of like freak in them. And when I say freak, I mean like freaky, like, you know, let's get it on in the back seat, like do you boo. But this woman is 47 years old. Yes, she's single and all that. But she was an attorney, but then she stopped practicing so she could be like an accountant or something like that. And I know you got some people that be like in the closet, like lady in the street, freaking the sheets. I get it. But I don't know. I don't know. This story sound a little sketchy. You telling me this woman saw your 19-year-old ass and was like, ooh, and she just bought a house. So you telling me she didn't think to be like, come back to my brand new house that I just built. Let's do it in the back of your 98 Chevy. I'm just saying. I'm just saying. I can't believe that, but who am I? This is why I wasn't on the jury. Yeah, he claims they had sex in his back seat, and that's how she ended up having the semen on her thigh that belonged to him. But the thing is, and the point I want to make is, the story ends up saying that she was actually home talking to her sister on the phone because I think she was doing her sister's taxes, and she had told her sister that she was really tired and that she was going to be like turning in for the night. So this shit ain't adding up. And her sister is still alive, so she was able to tell her account of what happened with the conversation with her sister. Ben couldn't remember what bar he was at, what time, or what kind of car Sally had, or who was at the bar. His account conflicted with testimony from Sally's sister, who said that she spoke with her sister around the same time that Ben claims they were having sex in the back of his car. Her sister said that Sally declined a dinner invitation with her because she was too tired and wanted to finish her sister's taxes. See, I do remember the bits of the story that I read previously. So it says that Sally was suffocated after a violent struggle in her new home. She emphasized that Ben's DNA was found on her body. And the person that's talking right now, I believe, is the state attorney. Assistant state attorney. The defendant denies The 12 jurors went on to, I guess, disregard his testimony and found him guilty. So that was the very disheartening story of what happened to Sally back in 1999. I hope that he does not get out anytime soon because who knows what he's capable of. I mean, it's so scary. People are fucking crazy. But I'm sorry that this episode was kind of heavy. It's such a bummer. But yeah, this happened right in the town I grew up in after I moved from Jamaica. And can't believe I worked with this guy and spoke to him. Like, you know what I've thought about in the past? How many people we come across in our lives. And I think there's actually a statistic, which I don't even know how the fuck they would even figure that shit out and calculate it. But there's like a statistic of like how many murderers and things like that you have come in contact with on any given day. Like, even think about when you're driving. Like, somebody could be driving next to you that killed someone before or has someone in their trunk or something fucking crazy. This is why my husband thinks I'm like psycho for being into true crime. I can't help it. I'm fascinated with the fact that this world is so insane and I'm extremely paranoid and yeah, which is probably another reason why I'm not fucking friendly. I don't trust people like that. I don't. So, and it's funny that, the one thing that people are always saying about genealogy, I've heard people say like, "Oh, I'm not going to go do Ancestry or 23andMe because they're going to keep all my information and I'll do whatever with it." And I'm sitting here like, if this is going to, catch people, by all means, if somebody I'm related to is a fucking psycho and they're murdering people, I hope you find their ass through me. Like, I don't give a fuck. I'll call the cops on my daddy if he crazy. If I knew that my daddy was like murdering people, I'm calling the cops. So, I don't know. And that goes for Nate too. I don't care who you are. If you crazy and you're doing shit, I'm calling the cops. Anyway. Oh God. So, guys, I don't want to even say like I hope you liked the episode because I don't know if it's a liking type of situation, but I appreciate you tuning back in for the rest of the story. And yeah, there are other blog posts on unicornbabble.com. That's where this story was initially posted last year. And I haven't posted in a couple months because I've been so focused on the podcast. But listen, I'm doing one of the two. So I think I have like creative ADD. So it's important to me that I'm like sticking to this one because I really, really wanted to start a podcast and I'm doing it and I want to keep with it. So hopefully I get it back on the blog at some point and post some more. But in the meantime, you'll just have to hear my voice instead of my words, reading my words. But yeah, thanks for tuning in. You can follow me on blonde underscore blasian on my personal account. That's blonde underscore blasian. Or you can follow the Mixed Babble podcast at Mixed Babble. And also email me at mixedbabblepodcast@gmail.com. Like, subscribe, rate, review, comment, do all the things. I would greatly appreciate it, guys. So thanks for tuning in. Let me know what you think. And till next week, wear your masks and don't be an asshole.